children. My blood hurts. My blood hurts.
Welcome.
What just happened?
Welcome to the first ever FSM podcast.
That was the weirdest podcast intro ever. Oh, man. So, my name's Hunter.
And my name's Caleb.
And we are in the middle of a 5-week teaching series, and then this thing happened.
COVID-19.
Yeah, coronavirus has hit, and so we are quarantined, and we miss being with students. We miss getting to worship on Sunday mornings. We miss cell group, and so we wanted to provide just some resources in this time. And so we don't want to get out of our series. We believe these next three talks have a lot of content that God could use to change our lives. And so,
Hunter, real quick, it might be easy in the midst of everything that's going on to even forget what series we're in.
Hey, Caleb, what series are we in?
Great question, Hunter. We are in the middle of a series called Question, Lies, and Truth, where we're talking about fear, anxiety, shame, anger, and a mix of emotions that we feel. And actually, this week, are talking about anxiety.
Yeah, so I was supposed to teach this on Sunday morning. Found out Friday morning that we would not be having church. And so we've kind of reframed it, repackaged it, because we know that, like, while people are in quarantine, there's a lot of downtime. We don't know. What are people doing with their time?
There's a lot of things that you can do. Bubble baths.
I do a
bird
lot of
watching.
Those. Don't do any of that.
And you really?
No.
No bird watching.
Just sparrows.
Ah, sparrow.
Yeah, so lots of things. Well, hopefully,
why did I say that?
Hopefully, you actually fill it with some redeeming things. Not
yes.
That bird watching is not. I think
no.
The Lord would approve. But we want to provide some resources that you can still grow spiritually, that you can connect with your cell group, even via like FaceTime, Google Hangout. Like, there are other ways. And so we're going to be talking about anxiety today. And I'll tell you this to start. So I was the one who was supposed to teach on Sunday morning. And in a lot of ways, I feel like I am the most qualified person to teach.
You heard it here first,
folks.
On
anxiety.
Hunter is the most qualified to teach on anxiety.
Well, and before that comes off as like a really prideful jerk thing to
say.
No,
there's no way that would.
Yeah, at all. Here's the reason. It's not because I know how to control it or do anything with it. It's because I am one of the most anxious people I've ever met in my life. And I have met myself.
Everybody meets themselves
yeah.
every morning. It's what you do with that meeting that matters.
That was deep.
So you think you're most anxious?
Yes.
What are some signs? How do we know that's true?
Well, pit stains.
Absolutely.
I get lots of pit stains.
Yes.
If you've ever noticed, I only teach in dark clothing.
Right. That's why we call you clinical strength.
That's me.
Because we're just calling the type of deodorant
you're
using.
Have you ever called me that?
All the time.
Okay.
And old stinky pits.
Behind my back. But also, I just have a huge fear of failure. And I tend to do a lot of things out of anxiousness because I just want to please people. And in fact, I'm the guy who went to the hospital over anxiety about a year ago. So it was January of 2019. It was a couple weeks before Chill Out. And it was one of the most stressful times of my life. Married with raising two kids, tons of stress at work, a lot of uncertainty that I was working on seminary, trying to finish up my master's. I was remodeling a house for 40 or 50 hours a week on top of working 40 or 50 hours a week. And Chill Out was about a week away. And I remember sitting at home and my heart went berserk. When I say that, like, I don't mean like I was lovey-dovey about something. Like,
right.
My physical heart started skipping beats, and I started mimicking symptoms of a heart attack. And I actually realized for the first time what a panic attack was. I had to go get my heart treated. And it was the first time that I realized that my physical body can be affected by my emotional stress. And I think a lot of us probably assume that we're immune to it, and it's just a mental thing that when we get anxious or stressed about something, but our body eventually will tell us, hey, chill out.
Yeah.
Because this is affecting more than you realize. And so I had to get help. And
yeah.
I love talking about this. I love talking with students about it because I think it's really important.
Yeah, I think that's good. You really have experienced it. You've lived through it. And we've seen the Lord work through you and on you and see you come out on the other side. So I'm excited to hear what you have to say. Now, you did mention two things. You mentioned stress and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about those and why they're different?
Yep. So that's a good point. They are different. Stress, we use them interchangeably, though. So I want to make sure we understand the difference. Stress is more of an external thing, and anxiety leans more internal. So let me flesh that out a little bit. So stress is inevitable in some ways. It's a tension that happens when something is stretched. And so it's due to external factors, some of which we can control, some of which we can't control. And it usually hits when we don't have the resources to handle something that is coming. So maybe we don't have enough time to accomplish something, or the skill set to accomplish something, or the money, or whatever it may be. And there are going to be some situations in life where we can control the amount of stress that we have. For instance, if we are just overcommitted and have no time in life, we actually can quit some things or say no to some things to be able to say yes to the right things, to put in regular rhythms of Sabbath and rest, which we'll talk a little bit about, to create some margin. But there are other times, no matter how hard we try, that there will be outside events in our lives that cause us stress. We have to go to school. Tests are going to be stressful. Work can be stressful. It's some things that we can't get away from. Now, anxiety is really an internal thing, and it's what we do with that stress. So a stressful moment comes, and anxiety is the thing inside that says we need to dwell on this, to worry about it, to think on it for a long time. And there's a difference between living in anxiety and just feeling it. I don't think feeling anxiety is a sin. I don't think when you get stressed and you become anxious about something that you're in sin, but when you dwell on it for a long time and it begins to control you, eventually, like, it's going to blow up. And
right.
I use this is a terrible illustration.
Well, give it to us then. We want to hear it.
There's tons of holes in this illustration, I admit that. But think of it like a grenade. And so when a stressful situation comes, you're going to feel that anxiety like someone just tossed a grenade to you. And what you do with it in that moment is really, really important. And so if you hold on to it for a long, long time, like eventually, it's going to blow up.
It's going to blow up. There'll be holes in you, not just in the illustration.
That's very true. And so, but here's the hole in the illustration. Like, what do you do with it? Well, I think what we're going to process through is giving things to God, releasing. And so you obviously don't want to throw a grenade.
You're throwing grenades at God.
Yeah, because that's bad. It's not good.
Well, then what do you think? Then dealing with anxiety, what's the root cause of it in our life?
Yeah. So when I actually learned this from a counselor. So part of the thing that I did a year ago was I wanted to go to a counselor. So I met with a counselor for 6 weeks about some of the stresses. And one of the main things I took away from him was that anxiety comes when I'm trying to control the things that I can't control. So there are certain things in life that I just do not have control over. Some of those things for us might be people's opinions, certain things in school, sports, approval of people, the future. Golly, the future is so unknown in so many ways. And when we try to control it, it provides anxiety. Relationships with people, letting others down, not living up to expectations. FOMO is a huge one that can cause anxiety because we want to control everybody else's actions and be in on everything. And I think it's important to remember that because that's what the root of anxiety is, we can't fix it by self-action. The answer to anxiety isn't, well, I need to do something. I need to add something to my life. It's actually to release something.
That's a really good point as you even look at it with cultural engagement. A lot of times we as believers are anxious about the way that our culture is moving. And so to really try and remedy our anxiety, we attempt to control something in culture that we can't, rather than running to the Lord.
Yeah.
With that anxiety.
Well, and I think especially in the West, like you look at culture in the West, this high expectation, high achievement culture, we try to live in a way that eliminates stress and makes us as comfortable as possible without any failures and without any tension, peace with the world in all ways, and it's just not possible. Mm-hmm. And it's going to lead us to a place where we are anxious about trying to control everything. And what we have to learn to do is to focus on peace with Christ in the midst of that chaos, not trying to eliminate the chaos. Yeah. I've heard a stat, and who knows if this is true. Most stats are made up. This one probably is too. But someone said that you can actually only control about 15% of your life. So if you think about that, like 85% of your life is out of control. You have no control of it. It's outside factors that are going to influence what happens in your life. And you actually only have control of about 15%. Yet, we are so anxious because we want to control everything.
Right.
And when we're in that, when we're trying to control, we get tunnel vision and a lack of perspective, and it's hard to see outside of the anxiety and the stress that we actually feel.
That's really good. And it reminds me, I remember my dad growing up would always encourage me not to pray for my circumstances, but for my attitude in the midst of my circumstances.
Yep.
Remembering that I can't control what's going on around me, but that the Lord does control things. And by running to Him and my attitude and in my awareness, there's peace. So what, in light of all that, what does Scripture say about these things? What does Scripture say about anxiety?
So I think a lot of what scripture says about stress and anxiety is going to be subtle and may even be indirect, but you look at stories, like there's anxiety all over people's lives and stories of scripture. You look at Mary and Martha, we just talked through it, and you look at Martha's reaction when things are supposed to be getting done, she's not getting help. Like, she is stressed in that moment. She is anxious. She's wanting Jesus to change something. When you look at Lazarus and his death, like, there are comments of Jesus, if you had just been here, like, he wouldn't have died. Where were you? We were anxious. We were waiting. Then there's stress all around that. Disciples are always wondering about the unknown. Jesus, give us clarity. And so sometimes it's indirect, but other times it's straight up addressed. And so stress and anxiety not being the same things. Let's look at where stress is brought up. A lot of things that we think about in Scripture might be that, well, maybe we're not supposed to be stressed, but Scripture actually says the opposite, that you will be stressed in this world. You will have tension. Look at this, or listen to this, I guess.
Yeah, it's a podcast.
Podcast. I would hold it up, but you can't see it.
Okay.
John 16:33 says this: I've told you these things so that in me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So this is part of the upper room discourse when Jesus is talking to his disciples before he goes to the cross, and he tells them, like, in this world, you are going to have trouble. At the essence of being a Christian, a follower of Jesus, is you will face tension and stress in a world that does not agree with you. So it's going to happen. John 15:19, just a chapter before, says, same thing, Jesus talking to disciples. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world, get this, hates you. That's stress.
Yeah.
That's tension. That's showing that in this world, like, things are not always going to be easy, especially if we claim to follow Jesus. And so don't buy into the lie that you shouldn't have tension in the world and that the goal should be to be comfortable in everything.
Right.
On the flip side of that, anxiety. While we are going to have stress, Scripture does give us a command to not be anxious. Philippians 4:6-7, which we'll break down a little more later, says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so we're actually commanded, hey, you have some control over your anxiety. Don't be anxious. Mm-hmm. Don't dwell on the things that you don't need to dwell on that are outside of your control. Instead, and again, we'll break this down, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard you. So anxiety can be a really good indicator of some things we need to deal with. Like, when you're anxious about something, it's going to show, hey, that's a stress point in your life, and you probably need to process that with someone. But it can't be the thing that controls us, or else we'll become joyless slaves to the things that are going to take control of our lives that have no right to.
That's good. You know, I think actually our culture thrives somewhat on busyness, stress, and anxiety, just trying to hurry us up. I mean, that's what capitalism is. It's all based on scarcity. Scarcity lives on anxiety. And so as we've begun to think, hey, maybe this isn't such a bad thing, can you tell us, why is anxiety so bad? I mean, we're not murdering people. Is anxiety a sin? Is it up there with these bad things?
I think you bring up just a good point, that a lot of times we think of sin as just this black and white list. Like, there's a list in the Bible that tells us the things that we can and can't do. And there are things that God commands and commands us not to do. But sin is more about going against the desires of God for our lives. And so when he says, do not be anxious, that's showing that when we pursue anxiety, when we go into that moment and say, I'm going to dwell on this, I'm going to think about this, I'm going to let this overtake my life, that we're actually going against God's desire. And the reason it's such a bad thing is because anxiety is a thief. It robs you of life, and it robs you of joy. You know who Corrie Ten Boom is?
No, but you should explain who he is to all of us.
Not a man, but that's okay.
But her name is Corrie.
Yes,
not
it is.
Corrie.
There you go. Yeah. It's
a great, look, my daughter's named Finley.
Yeah, your middle name's Michelle.
Yeah, it's easy.
Common mistake. I get it. So Corrie Ten Boom, she was a lady. She actually died in 1983 at the age of 91.
I do know who she is.
You do know?
I do know.
No, you
yeah,
don't.
I heard Mickey give a talk.
You're
and he, no, he did. He did.
Let it be known, Caleb Freeman is lying to
Friesman.
Is
Michelle
lying
Friesman
to all of you. So anyways, she faced Nazi persecution and just met that persecution with a lot of hope, a lot of joy. And here's what she says about worry. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, which is what we want. When we're anxious about something, we want to fix it. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Hmm. And I would even add to that, empties today of its joy. Anxiety elevates us to a throne that is not fit for us and says we can control these things when in fact we cannot control the things that are outside of our control. And in worrying about them, we actually lose the joy of today. Mm-hmm. And we're so worried about the things that are coming tomorrow. And so I mentioned this earlier, but that's not just a mental thing. Like your body will begin to react when you start to become controlled by stress and anxiety. And that's why people have to take medicine for anxiety, because it's all inclusive. And so, yeah, it's a bad thing. It robs us of joy. It leads us away from peace in the Lord. And it basically says we are on the throne and we can control things.
Right. I think that's a great quote. You said anxiety tends to elevate us to a throne that's not fit for us. And that perfectly describes it, because we want to address all of our problems head on, taking care of them. And the root of anxiety really comes down to we're trying to take care of things that we can't.
Yeah.
And so why do you think then kids are so stressed out and anxious today?
Well, I think it's not just kids. I think it's adults. It's me. It's you. It's culture. Culture's done it to us in a way, but I do think kids are extra stressed. And one, and I think this is probably the most important one, is that I think for a lot of our students, especially FSM kids, if you're listening, this might be you, it might not be you, but there's just not a consistent walk with the Lord. And faith growing up in the church is something that many of them have inherited from their parents. It's more of a cultural thing than a personal thing. And so they're not actually experiencing the joy and peace that Jesus has to offer because there's no actual pursuit of him. But then on the more practical side, I think another thing is just overcommitment. Like, golly, you look at schedules of students. I was trying to meet with a kid the other day and I was like, man, when are you free? And he's like, well, I got personal training at 6 a.m. But then I got practice after school till 7, and then I got to do homework for a couple hours, and then I'm going to be meeting up with this person. I'm like,
it's crazy.
So many things. And so there's no rhythm to life. There's no Sabbath. There's no rest. There's no margin. And that produces a lot of stress and anxiety. Another thing is you got overcommitment, but you also have overconnection. And so we talked about FOMO. What does FOMO stand for?
It stands for the forgetful over. It's
you
fear. Yeah, it's yeah, fear of missing
out. You tried.
Out.
That was good. Gosh, swing and a miss.
So
FOMO, so fear of missing out. Constant stimulation.
Dude, yeah, you missed out.
Oh, stimulation with no room to think and process. So you're just constantly thinking and connecting and pulling up your phone. And I disconnected from social media for a season. And when I did, the first like 2 days, every time I'd open my phone, I'd go to click where Instagram used to be, and it wasn't there. It was the calculator. I was like, well, this isn't the same.
It's just as cool.
It's so
math
cool.
Rocks.
Hey, math degree.
That's right.
Go study math.
It is interesting. As you say these things, we don't know how to be bored. We're terrified to be bored. And yet, in some ways, I think there's something healthy about that. Mm-hmm. There's something really sacred about desiring the simple and the slow, and we've completely lost sight of that.
Yep.
What are some of the lies that we believe about anxiety? And maybe even not just the lies that we believe, but the truths that can counteract
yep.
those lies.
That's good. We'll go through a couple. Hopefully, if you're listening to this, you're taking notes. But I'm going to go through a couple of these. One would be that anxiety will always be part of my life. That's the lie. That like the things I'm stressed and anxious about right now, like will always be there. I believed that lie, even like with that lie of sin. So pornography is a huge part of my past, unfortunately. And I believed for so long that like this is always going to be part of my life. I've tried and tried to defeat this. I've done everything I can. And the truth is that that is a lie, that the presence of Jesus, the freedom of Jesus in sin and in anxiety is actually a real thing that provides freedom. And so stress will always be part of our life, but anxiety is something that we can deal with. And I want to be careful there, because in dealing with it, it may not be dealing with it in the way
in
that
a
you,
healthy way.
In the way that you think. A lot of times we think we have to fix it. But the second thing, which would play off of that, is that the way that you, a lie that you believe about anxiety is that no one can help me, so I have to do this on my own. And we think we have to fix this. We are just going to think about this and fight hard enough against this that it'll go away. But it's literally the opposite, that I cannot help myself in anxious moments. And so I actually need someone to help me, starting with Jesus. And I think scripture is very clear that when we are working through sin or emotions or depression or anything that requires like some outside help, which is pretty much everything in life,
right.
it's not just between us and God, but he encourages us to invite community into it. And to, you know, James 5, I think it's 5:16, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. That there's an element of us doing life with other people that actually brings healing and health to us. So it's not something that we have to do on our own. Third lie would be that I can't slow down. I just have too much to do. And I hear this one all the time.
Yeah, this seems to be one that is probably the biggest for our parents and our students.
Yeah. Like I just have too many commitments, and I can't say no to any of these things. And I want to just say, students, you do have some control over your schedule.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now there are some things obviously you can't control. You got classes, you've got that kind of thing, but you don't have to play two sports at a time. You don't have to be in five extracurricular activities to pad your resume to get into college. We build up these lies that we have to do all the things in order to be accepted into the right university and that.
And I would even say you don't have to do those things. It's not worth doing those things.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the stress-free life or the anxious-less life that comes from slowing down is worth it.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. And parents, I think you have just as much control over your student's schedule, if not more. So set them up for true success. We think that setting up students or kids for success is getting them all the opportunities available to them. But actually what we're producing in them is an inability to say no to things and to drive themselves into the ground of just over anxiety about everything. And so help them make some of the decisions that they're not able to make for themselves right now.
I remember my dad not letting me play on a basketball team because it traveled every weekend.
And because you weren't any good.
Well, that was the main reason, but I didn't want to say that. Yeah. But now that it's out there, but it would have traveled every weekend and we wouldn't have been home for a Sunday.
Yep.
And I was so mad when I wasn't allowed to play on this team, but looking back, I see the wisdom in showing me what a healthy, rhythmic lifestyle looks like.
Yep.
Of having weekends of rest, weekends at home, rather than just always going.
Yep, that's good. So any conversation on this topic, I always bring up Romans 12:2. It's a verse that a lot of kids have memorized, but it's a good one. And the essence of it is that we're not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so we don't have to fall into the patterns of people who don't follow Jesus. In fact, it's not that we just don't have to, we shouldn't.
Right.
We shouldn't be conformed to the patterns of this world. And I'm not telling everyone, go quit everything you're doing, drop out of school.
Yeah, baseball is great. Yeah. We still like baseball here.
Love it. Yeah, maybe we'll get to see a game.
Yeah,
sometime
hopefully.
In the next 6 months, hopefully. But what we're saying is in those patterns, like set margins, set rhythm, set rest.
Exactly.
Use the opportunities you have for God's glory, for ministry, that kind of thing. Last lie would be this. If I dwell on this long enough, it will get better. If I just think about this and stress over it even more, that is what's going to fix. And Jesus actually says, do the opposite. Don't hold on to it, but release it. And so in Matthew 6:34, we see that, you know, we can worry about everything that's coming tomorrow. This is the verse that says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own. And so we tend to think about all the things that are coming up, but he's being real clear that, like, you got plenty of things to think about and make decisions on today. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. And by you worrying about it, it's not going to help you at all.
Right.
Corrie Ten Boom, quote number two. You ready for this?
I'm ready for her quote.
There we go. Let's make sure we're clear on that. She says this, that worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you moving, but doesn't get you anywhere.
That's pretty good.
You like a good rocking chair.
I like a good rock. I know how to front porch sit.
Yeah, you do.
do you want to add anything?
Do you want to add anything?
No, I mean, I love front porches. That's
all
I was
going to say.
Yeah,
it speaks for itself. Rocking chairs are good. Cracker Barrel, golly.
I actually had Cracker Barrel with my wife last night.
Yeah, you did.
Chicken and dumplings all day.
It's such a brown meal. Everything is brown at Cracker Barrel.
Well, yeah, especially when especially when you get chicken fried steak and brown gravy on the side.
It's all brown. We're not sponsored by Cracker Barrel, by the way.
No, but we are sponsored by some people, and we'll get to our sponsors here in a little bit.
Can't
but if
wait
we can't,
to hear those.
If we can't fix it ourselves, what do we do with the stress and anxiety, and how do we handle it?
Yeah. So this is where it gets interesting, because I think in walking with Jesus in the Christian life, a lot of things come down to really spiritual sayings like, "Oh, you just need to give it to the Lord," and that kind of thing. I actually think it's true.
Jesus and let go and let God.
Let go and let God. Do your best.
Trust more.
And God will do the rest.
Trust more and don't trust less. That's what I always say.
It's brilliant.
Thanks.
I think you could sell a book on that. But all that to say, all jokes aside, Like most things in life that we struggle with, we have to learn to offer it to the Lord. And the cure for anxiety is the presence of God. Let me say that again. The cure for anxiety is the presence of Jesus in our lives. So like most sins, not all, but most sins and their struggles, they can trace back to a root of just a self-centered desire to control, whether it be for your own pride, your own satisfaction, fulfillment, a desire to be pleased, a desire to have certain things meet my expectations. We want to control things, and it leads us to a place that's really unhealthy. And so we literally have to verbalize, Lord, I give this to you.
Right.
That's one of the things. But Scripture gives us a great example of what to do. So Philippians 4:4-7, I guess really 4-9. We read it earlier, but this idea of I'm going to try to quote it while I'm turning to it. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then it keeps going. And this part gets left out. Mm-hmm. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the peace of God will be with you. And so there's not just an emptying of, I want to give this anxiety to the Lord. Part of the Christian walk in dealing with anxiety and stress is actually watching what we fill our lives with. So there's an emptying, and there's also a filling that's really, really important. When we empty our lives of something, we have to fill it with something substantial, or else we're just going to keep filling it with the things that don't really mean anything. And so I often say, like, you got to check your diet. And I don't just mean food. I know Lent's going on. People are getting sweets. Like, not exactly what we're talking about. But really, what are you putting into your body from a holistic standpoint? So when you fill yourself with the things of this world, the Netflix, the social media, the constant connection with all of these things, just pumping information into our minds, it is going to stress you out. And so you have to watch what you're filling yourself up with. And I remember being in high school, struggling with the way that I looked, okay? I'm not very tall. I know that's the good thing about a podcast. People can't see that.
I was going to say, that's the fourth time. Nobody can tell.
How do you know I'm not 6'4"?
Well, they've seen you.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good point. But I struggled with the way that I looked. I wasn't super tall, wasn't super fit. And I was like, man, Lord, would you help me have security? And like, I want to get fit. And I want to, you know, have a body that I don't even know what.
Like a Greek god.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And cool. I remember the funny part about it, like I just wanted some muscle. And I remember I was literally praying this, as funny as it sounds, in my truck before school. And I looked down and I'm eating a bag of donuts.
Dude, that's good. There's MSG in that stuff. It helps growth.
It's healthy. A lot. It's really healthy. But it was just this conflict of like, I'm praying for things that I'm not actually like watching what I'm putting into my body. And I think a lot of times we do that with stress and anxiety. Like, I don't want to be stressed. I don't want to be anxious. But yet we're putting nothing of substance into our mind.
Right. Just comparing ourselves on Instagram, whatever it may be, while we pray for the opposite.
Exactly. Can you open a Psalm 1 real quick?
Yeah, I'm there.
Oh, you're already there. Dude, perfect.
I'm ahead of the game.
Yeah, it's like we talked about this ahead of time. So if you want peace in your life, it doesn't come from filling yourself with the things of this world, but it really comes from filling yourself with the things of the Lord. And I love Psalm 1. Will you just read? It's what, 6 verses? Just go ahead and read it for us.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Dude, I love this psalm. This is one of the verses that we've used for our kids and their dedication of, we want our young boys as they grow into young men to be those righteous people who don't find righteousness in themselves, but they find it in the Lord. And they're like trees planted by water. What's a tree planted by water? It's gonna be fruitful. It's gonna be green because it's soaking up resources from somewhere outside of itself. And so when I think about, you know, the cure for anxiety, it really is attaching ourselves to the Lord and experiencing his presence and allowing him, even in the midst of a desert of chaos or whatever, to be filled up by him and to be changed by him daily and to offer to him our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing. And
that's good. Yeah. As you guys have, or over this last few weeks, you and Alex, what anxiety have you felt lately?
So I told you at the beginning, I am literally one of the most anxious people I know, and I experience it all the time. But even just, so 2 weeks ago, we were doing a couple baptisms in church. We had done it in a different way, and there were going to be some moving parts that were kind of unknowns. And also, Alex and I were teaching on sex to a bunch of premarital people that night.
Bum, bum, bum.
I said sex on the podcast. It happened. Hey, Love, Sex, and Dating is coming up in a few weeks.
Mark your calendars, kids.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
It's going to be a hoot.
But anyways, I just had this really stressful day. A couple of big things coming up that were going to last all day long. And I was stressed out of my mind. And I remember waking up in bed. This was 2 weeks ago. And I said, Lord, I do not want to get out of bed today. I want to get rid of my responsibilities. I want to call in sick. I want to stay home. I want to isolate. I don't want to go. Other people can do this. I don't want to do this. And I literally, I don't want to say it was audible, but I felt like God speaking to me very, very clearly. And he said, would you go if I went with you? And would you trust me if I told you I will walk through each step with you? And I was like, of course. And he's like, well, that's exactly what I do every day. And so that was 2 weeks ago. But then even this last Monday, I went into the office. We all went into the office. It was a normal day. And, you know, lots of things were happening. Caleb probably farted in front of the team. That usually happens.
This is a normal occurrence.
It is.
For those of you who are wondering, it's normal.
Yeah. Tori laughed at her own jokes, you know, that kind of thing.
Very normal.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But I get a text from someone on our leadership team about spring break trips, and like my anxiety kicked in. And we went through a 3 or 4 day span where we canceled all international trips, rebooked for those students. And then by Thursday of last week, like it was all done.
Canceled them again.
And I had so much anxiety over the whole situation. But I was reminded by one of the guys that I work with. His name is Mark Schatzman. He's a great guy. And he said that if you trust in the sovereignty of God in situations like this, this was always plan A. Yeah. You know, for us, it feels like plan B. But for God, it was always plan A. We just didn't know it. And that perspective in anxiety, in those anxious moments, has given me so much peace to know that God is going to walk with me and he has a plan. And am I willing to trust him in that moment?
That's really good. Well, then in light of that, is there anything practical for those listening that they can use going forward?
Yes. Great question, Caleb.
Thanks. That's why they call me great question asker Caleb.
We do.
Q. Don't do it.
Okay,
just answer the question.
Okay, so we're going to try to give you something that's easy to remember. They all start with R, okay? And it's 4 steps that when you hit an anxious moment, and you'll see them on that card if you downloaded that, and it's this. You first review, then release, then remember, then respond. And so there's a couple of reflection times, and there's a couple of action times. So let me walk you through what each of those means. So what does it mean to review? Well, anytime you feel anxious, you have to consider, what are the sources that I'm getting my information from? And so what is the world telling me? What is scripture telling me? And so in a lot of ways, like the world is trying to gain your attention, gain your affection, pull you into the craziness of life to buy their products, be consumed by it, whatever. But scripture is going to provide us with truth that transcends all of those situations, and it gives us healthy perspective. So we have to analyze, what am I believing and where is it coming from? And then the second thing for release would be, what can I actually control? We talked about it before. There are some things in anxious circumstances and stressful circumstances that you can control. So identify those. What are the things I can control? And then what are the things that I cannot control? And am I willing to let go of those? And I think even just writing those down is a really healthy exercise to go, I actually can't control what other people think about me. I need to let that go. The third thing would be to remember. This is something I think is really helpful that scripture shows us, is to remember the faithfulness of God. And so that may be completely unrelated to the situation you're going through. But like our family has a what we call an Ebenezer jar. It's a term from scripture that God commanded his people when he did something crazy, cool, miraculous, whatever. He brought them out of a place. Like he said, build this Ebenezer. Like create a memorial stone so that when people see it, they will remember my faithfulness. And I think we need to do that. And we need to remind ourselves that God has been faithful in the past. And it reminds me that he's going to be faithful today.
That's really good. I think there is a direct link between someone's ability to remember God's provision in the past and their ability to walk in faith in the future.
Yeah, exactly. And then the last one would be to respond. And so we actually want to verbalize and to give up this anxiety, this stress, whatever it may be, and we want to give it to the Lord and say, Lord, will you take it? You say that you want to take these things from us, that we should come to you when we're weary, when we're in need of rest, and that you actually provide it. So will you take it? But let me give you a practical one for me.
Okay.
I'm going to walk through this quick. Teaching. So I get really stressed over teaching. I have a cough drop in right now. My throat goes really, really dry. I have major pit stains.
You've eaten four.
I'm not like Caleb. I don't pee on myself. He pees on himself every teaching.
Maybe.
But what do I do? So I have to review. Well, the world tells me, like, and even just my own freaking out tells me, you're going to screw up. You're going to forget your place. You're going to look like an idiot up there. Like, you're really going to panic. You might pass out.
Dude, that is bad. If you pass out while you're teaching, that would be bad.
Yeah, it would be really bad. But then I have to remember, so what does Scripture tell me? That, well, when I'm teaching, when anyone's talking about the Word of God, like, God's Word does not return void. And the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to be working. And so it's not up to me. And the reality of what someone takes from a talk is not up to my ability to give it. It's up to the power of the Word. Mm-hmm. And if I trust in that, then that should give me a lot of assurance. And my community, my team, like, y'all tell me, hey, we trust you. And that provides me some assurance. So second thing, I want to release. What can I control? Well, I can control how much I prep. I shouldn't go up there and just wing it.
Right.
I'm actually terrible at that. But I can't control how jokes land. I have said a lot of jokes.
A lot of them have landed well.
Some. I give it 50-50.
That's a pretty good percentage.
Yeah, it depends. Depends on the day. But I can't control things like that or how people interpret what I say. I can only control, like, my prep and my trust in the Lord. And then I got to release that, the rest of that stuff to Him. And then I want to remember, how has God been faithful in the past? Well, Hunter, you've never passed out while teaching. Like, why is that a fear of yours? Mm-hmm. Right? You've never gone completely, like, your voice has never gone fully out. You've never really forgotten everything you were supposed to say and had to just end 20 minutes early. But I make up these scenarios in my mind and I have to remind myself, God has been so faithful in the past. And so the way I respond, every time I'm nervous, which is all the time, I pace before I go up and teach. I always pray the same thing. Holy Spirit, flow in through and out of me. Speak your truth and your truth only. And I pray that you would move. And that is my response to Him. So, all right, let's get practical with students.
So if a student has let's say a test coming up.
Yeah, y'all get stressed over tests? Do you?
Oh, so stressed.
Yeah.
How could you review, release, remember, and respond?
Yeah, so I think you review, you say, all right, well, what's the world telling me? You're going to need an A or you're a failure. The fate of your college acceptance depends on this test.
Yes.
You will not get into the University of Arkansas if you make a B on this test. And people believe that lie.
People believe that.
But Scripture and community actually shows us, like, and these types of things that we build up to be big deals are not as big a deal as we think in the moment. And whatever we do, Scripture tells us, do it all for the glory of God, right? But that doesn't mean that God requires perfection 100%. We want to give Him our best, but then we want to release. So what does that mean? Well, what can I control? Again, my prep. I can control how hard I work at this, but I cannot control what the teacher puts on that test. Y'all probably taken a test where you prepped one way and it didn't even look like the same class when you got into the test. And ultimately, you can't control that. And you have to release that up to the Lord and say, I'm going to do my part. And you remember, when I look back at my test from high school, college, whatever, within a week of any test that I've ever taken, no matter how good or terrible it went, it feels a lot less important a week later.
Yeah.
And this too will pass. Like, this test will not be as big of a deal as you're making it out to be. And then we respond and we ask God, like, it's not just, hey, help me get an A on this test. Our response should be things like, man, who can I encourage in my class today that's down, instead of me just freaking out over the test?
That's so really good.
It's just a four-step process that I think anytime you hit an anxious moment, you could just go to these things. It'll take 5-10 minutes to really identify what are the sources, what can I control, what do I need to release, and just ending with this peace that transcends understanding that we see in Philippians.
Well, you've given us two quotes from CTB. My girl, Corey Ten Boom.
Yes.
You got any more? Yeah, give me one more.
I got one more. Here we go. So anxiety comes from, you know, trying to control. This is not the quote. Comes from trying to control the things that we can't control and this fear of the unknown. But I love what Corey Ten Boom says. She says, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And I think so much anxiety comes from trying to control the uncertainty of our future, whether it be tomorrow or next year, or 10 years from now, who will our family be? Will we have a job? Anything like that. And she reminds us, although it's unknown, we have a very known God who we can trust. And so that's kind of our bit on anxiety. I want to end with this. You know, we are in the midst of coronavirus, and we miss students. I miss students. I miss that we're not going to have cell group.
I'm really sad about spring break too.
But I know that even in the midst of all this, that God can be working for good. And if we still trust him, a lot of good can come from this. And so, man, we love you guys. We miss you guys. I don't say you guys. We love y'all. We miss y'all. I'm not from the North.
You yank.
And now it's time to sign off. How do we sign off?
This is, I get nervous around people.
Are you pitting?
All the time. All right, see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
We'd like to remind everybody that we have no sponsors for this podcast, but we are sponsoring people. And the first sponsor of ours that we'd like to shout out is Co-op Dog Food. That's right. What's good for your heart might not be good for theirs, but when we treat their heart like ours, then God's best friend and man's best companion never leaves your side. Co-op Dog Food. Feed them what's right. We'd also like to thank Halls Menthol Cough Suppressant, an oral anesthetic. Halls Relief. It relieves a cough and soothes sore throats real quick. Another sponsor that we would like to thank is just Apple Music for absolutely doing nothing to Spotify. Apple Music.